Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of James, chapter number 1. James, chapter number 1, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. I'm going to read just a couple of verses of Scripture. And like I said, this is something I heard parts of this and just put some things, some thoughts together on it. And just want to be brief tonight, but be encouraging about our meeting that's coming up. And hopefully this will help us to be prepared for it. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter number 1, verse 21 and 22, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." I want to preach tonight on what to do during church. What to do during church. Now, I know I've preached on how to come into church and enjoying it. I preached on that some time back. But tonight I want to preach on what you to do during church. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for loving us. You've been so good to us. Our hearts have been blessed tonight with the music, and we thank you for that. And thank you for every part of the service so far. But now we come to that time of looking into thy word. And Lord, I realize the simplicity of this message. But Lord, I pray it would be something of great encouragement, that we'd go away refreshed, helped, prepared for what you have in store for us as we enter into the next service, and then the next service, and the next service. And Lord, I pray tonight that you'll use this time together, first of all, to edify the church, to exalt the Savior. And Lord, I pray if there's one here without Christ as Savior, that tonight they would come to the realization of your love for them, Lord, through the love of this church. And we'll thank you for what you do. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Be seated. It's amazing what all goes on during the church service. It's absolutely amazing. I watch. My eyes see things. Sometimes I've learned as I preach to look but not look. Do you know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? If I allowed myself to think about everything that I see going on, then I don't think I could ever preach, get through a whole message, you know? And then y'all be here for 2 hours, and then I'd be gone as pastor. You wouldn't put up with that. But I watch things, and I see things. And so sometimes you may even think I'm looking right at you, but it's not always the case. Sometimes I'm looking right through you, okay? And what it is I try to not look up to the ceiling or look out to everything else, you know, and never make eye contact. But sometimes I can't get my eyes on everything that's going on, simply because if it did, I'd be so distracted. Because you wouldn't believe some of the things that I see and some of the things that I hear. Now, Brother Mickey sits all the way in the back. He sees a lot of things back there. So I'm just going to start looking at Brother Mickey all the time. And I'm going to preach right to him. So you know when these messages get hard and rough, it's his fault, right? Because I'm thinking about how much he needs these things. And amen. But anyway, I'm thinking about church services, and I think about all that's going on. We have a revival meeting coming up. It's two nights. I want you to think about that, 2 nights. Now, what can happen in 2 nights? Very little or a whole lot? It really depends on you. It depends on your attitude toward the services. It depends on what you desire and what you're going to expect God for. And by the way, I want you to realize the Bible says he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So regardless of how great you think the services can be, God says he can do greater than that. But what we need to do is expect the very best. And we need to look for God to do something mighty and something wonderful. I think every church service ought to be filled with anticipation. I believe every time I come to the house of God, I ought to expect God to do something in that service. And by the way, I'm not talking about expecting God to do something for somebody else. I'm saying I expect God to do something in my life. You say, but you're doing the preaching. You wouldn't believe how many times I've been preaching and God's been saying, I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to you. And I thank the Lord for that. I like to preach myself under conviction, you know. Sometimes that's what happens. I get carried away. I start realizing I need this, and I go deeper and deeper and deeper. And before all is said and done, you know, I find myself thinking I need to be on the altar. But there's so many things that happen during the church service. Sometimes we're up wandering around. You know, we teach our kids it's all right to get up, go out, get up, go out, get up, go out. You know, I understand kids are kids, and they're going to get up and go out sometimes. But, you know, we've had kids get up 10 times in a service before. You know how distracting that is, not only to me, but everybody's trying to listen to me? That's not what we're supposed to do during a church service, is it? So we need to realize that we have to teach our children, but we have to be ready ourselves. So I want to give you just three thoughts here tonight. I'm telling you, 10, 15, 20, 30, 45 minutes tops, all right? And we'll be done, we'll be out of here, and we'll be on our way home. But I want us to look at this, I want to think about some things, and I want you to think about what you're to do before the sermon. What you're to do before the sermon. The Bible says in verse number 21, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. In other words, we're to lay aside some things. When we come to the house of God, we ought to come for the sole purpose of hearing from the Lord. When we come to the house of God, I'm telling you, when the choir gets up and they start singing, let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord, we ought to enter into it. Amen. We ought to say, we're here to hear from God. We're to lay aside the things from outside world. Right. We're to lay aside our work. We're to lay aside. You know, sometimes I think I'm preaching, I think, boy, they're taking good notes today. Only to find a piece of paper, and somebody has filled a sheet up with tic-tac-toe. You know? And there it is. Here's the bad thing. It'll have cat. You know what cat means. Tie. But then it has their names. Oh, yes. I found some. I know who you devils are. I've seen it. I've seen people sitting down. And, you know, you think, well, it's the only time I had to do something. I've seen grocery lists being written during my sermon. You're really getting, you say, well, I can write and listen, but you're not going to get what you need out of it. Lay aside, now I'm not saying that that's naughty. I'm not saying that's filthiness. But I'm saying that it's not what you're supposed to be doing, so it's not right. Now, not just Thursday night and Friday night, but Wednesday night you ought to come and do your very best to lay aside the weights of the world. A grocery list can wait till you get home. A tic-tac-toe game, I don't know, maybe it's the only time you have somebody that'll sit down beside of you. I don't know, but surely it can wait. You know, play yourself. You ever tried playing tic-tac-toe yourself? I always win. I never lose when I play tic-tac-toe by myself. Oh, yeah. You say, well, don't you ever tie? Don't you ever get... No. If I'm playing, I want to win. So I'm not going to let cat win. You understand? But what I'm saying tonight is, what are we to do before the sermon? You know, I preach on going to church and joy. We're to anticipate, and there's anticipation, and there's preparation, and there's participation. Now, I know I've preached on that, but what do you do before the sermon? You lay aside the things from this world. Come to the house of God saying, God, I need to hear from you tonight. I don't want to have my mind on my job. I don't want to have my mind on my bills. I don't want to have my mind on my problems. I just want to have my mind on you. I want to be looking unto Jesus. And boy, when you come to church and you start looking unto Jesus, you'll be amazed at what God will show you. Lay aside all those things that seem to weigh you down, that seem to burden you down, that seem to bog you down, and get your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and expect God to do something for you. Oh, there's something thrilling about that. I tell you, there's times, and I've been on both ends of this. There have been times that I've come to church and I've had the weight of the world on me and I carried it through the whole service. And I'm not going to deny that at the end of a service, many times I've been in the altar, you know, and just because the Lord dealt with me. But I realized I didn't get everything out of it. I didn't hear half of what the preacher said, if anything, because all I could think about was that. And I've wondered how many times did I miss God solving my problem. Oh, I was at the altar because I was carrying a burden and I knew I had to get rid of it. But I believe God will give you the grace to lay aside some things. Because he wants to give the man of God something to say to you that's going to help you out, that's going to encourage you, that's going to strengthen you. When I come to church, I come to be strengthened. I come to be encouraged. I come to be helped, you know. I preached hard this morning on certain things, on being found faithful. I realize that. But that should have been an encouraging sermon. Should have been a helpful sermon. Sometimes the hardest things to hear are the things we need to hear the most. But you think about this. A preacher that gets up and preaches under the Spirit of God and preaches the Word of God, he's going to say something that's going to help you. So what you got to do is you got to do your best to lay it aside. You know, I think some people wait till they get to church so they can make their lists. So they can fulfill whatever it is. Now, if I ever found somebody doing a crossword puzzle or a search word, circle word puzzle, I think that'd just drive me crazy. Some people come. Look, I'm going to tell you something else. Well, I guess maybe I can just pour it all out tonight. It's not a time to clip your fingernails and file your fingernails and do all that either. You want to know what gets under my skin? There's several things that gets under my skin. I'm talking about literally that makes my head, the hair raise up on. Not because I'm angry, because I can't stand the noise of it. Now, my family knows this. There are certain kinds of fabric, and there are certain restaurants that has this kind of fabric on their chairs and on the back of their chairs. And we'll go somewhere, and I don't care how far across the restaurant they are. They'll get one of those cloths, and they'll go over, they'll start wiping that seat off, and it goes, and it's just this noise. And honestly, I put my hands over my head, and I think I'm going to die. And they laugh at me. And so my wife got a bedspread, and when you run your fingers across it, it makes that noise. And so when I'm in there aggravating her about something, she'll start going. But one of those things that really bothers me is. And then. It just drives me up the wall. Well, preacher, I can clip my fingernails and file my fingers. And now, if you've got a hangnail and it's just about to drive you crazy, go ahead, because you're not going to think a bit about my preacher until you get that hangnail taken care of. I understand it. But what I'm saying is, you just think about some of the things we do before church. If you've got a hangnail before church, take care of it then. What do you do before a sermon? Lay aside some things. Say to yourself, I'm going to clear off a spot to hear the preaching of God's word. I'm clearing off spot for next hour, 2 hours, whatever it is, to go into church. And when the choir gets up to sing, I'm going to listen for the voice of God to speak to me. And I'm going to listen as that soloist gets up there and sing, as that group gets up, as them little kids gets up and sing, I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of the love in the book he has given. I'm telling you, it ought to thrill our souls that our children are up singing songs about Jesus. Amen. And they don't have to get up and have some kind of rock music beat and have some kind of worldly sounding thing and look like somebody that just walked in off of a dance floor. I'm telling you, we ought to be thrilled about that. So God's given us something special. So when we come to the house of God, let's just say, I'm going to look for God to do something in my life. I'm laying it aside. I'm laying aside my burdens. I'm laying aside my work. I'm laying aside my bills. I'm laying aside my problems. And I'm just going to get my eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and just watch what God can do. And by the end of the sermon, you never know, God may have said something to you that'll help you to know what to do about your bill problems, that'll help you to know what to do about your sickness, to help you to know what to do about all those different things. And he might even give you an idea or two about something you need to pick up at the grocery store. I don't know. But you think about some of the things we do. So what are we to do? Before we lay it aside. Put it aside. Well, secondly, what to do during the sermon. Now, I'm talking about what we did before, and I've already hit what we did during, so this sermon's really getting shorter and shorter and shorter. What do you do during the sermon? The Bible says in verse number 21, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. You lay aside things, you put them aside, you don't worry about your grocery list, you don't worry about playing tic-tac-toe, you don't worry about the ball games, you don't worry about anything, but you're just ready to receive what God has for you. You receive the word. You open up your life and say, pour it on me, Lord. Amen. Give me all you got. Amen. And everything you give me, I'm going to soak it in. And I'm going to drink it in. And I'm going to eat up the bread of life. And I'm going to drink of that water of life. And I'm going to taste that morsel of meat. And I'm going to eat on the honeycomb that you have for me. But Lord, you just give it to me and I'll receive it. Sometimes a preacher may get up and he may preach something. I'm telling you, he may hoe a row of corn, and by the time it's all said and done, you begin to realize that you've got problems in your life, but you say, I'm taking it like you give it to me, Lord, and then God will help you to deal with it. I've heard sermons preached. I'm telling you, that I was so under conviction that I felt like I needed to lay down on my hands and knees on my belly and crawl up to the altar because I felt like I didn't deserve to stand before Almighty God. because somebody preached the Bible to me and they gave me something from the heavenly throne. God had to send a message to me. We ought to receive the Word of God. Receive the Word of God. That's what we're to do during the sermon. And when a preacher gets up and he's preaching on something, you think, boy, he's preaching right at me. You know, you hear this so many times as a preacher. Preacher, somebody told you about me, didn't they? You know what I usually do? I say, yeah, the Lord told me about you. You're sorry, you know. You're lower than a snake's belly. No, I don't do that. I'll usually say, you know, the Lord must have been speaking about you to me because He put this message on my heart. I've preached messages, honestly, scared to death. People's going to be so mad at me. But knowing it's what the Lord wanted me to preach. Knowing. And some of those messages I thought, you know, somebody's going to be mad at me. Inevitably, somebody comes up to me, not always that night, but sometime later, and they say, I really needed what you had to say. And I've even had this said to me, I was really mad at you, preacher. I was upset at what you said because I felt like you were pointing me out. But I realized it was just the Lord showing me some things in my life. I was like, whew, thank you, Lord, for showing that to them. But really, when the Word of God starts coming in and you start receiving it, and sometimes we kind of, like, we're like, no, I don't want it. We push our way away from the table. God's trying to speak to us, and we're like, mm-mm. You know what I'm talking about? Because it's not banana pudding. It's spinach. It's good for you, but you don't want it. Anybody here like spinach? We got a bunch of nuts in here. Anybody like hominy? I'm grouping you all together right now. I'm trying to think. What about, you know, I like celery now, though. I've worked my way up. I told them, I said, there's several things. I don't like spinach. I don't like broccoli, and I can handle broccoli. I don't like hominy, and I don't like celery. My mother-in-law asked me, what do you not like? Before we were married, what do you not like? Because she was going to, and I don't really care for peas, but I'll eat them. I ate peas the first time I went over to their house because they didn't know I didn't like them. But then after they found out I didn't like them, they were so kind to say to me, you don't have to eat them. Thank the Lord. Amen? The Lord is so good. See, I had permission. But we do that a lot of times. You know, spinach is really good for you. Right? In a gross kind of way. You think about it, though. Really, there's lots of things that are good for us. I'm talking about physically in our life, and we push away from it. And you might be able to survive a little while physically, but I'm going to tell you spiritually, you keep pushing away, you're not going to survive. When somebody is preaching the truth in love, now by the way, I do think there's a difference between preaching the truth hard and preaching the truth harsh. I can handle hard preaching, but I can't handle harsh preaching. Because if there's not a spirit of love behind it, then I don't think that preacher is doing what God would have us to do. Paul said, speak the truth in love. The truth sometimes hurts. The truth sometimes pours salt in a wound. But sometimes that's what it's going to take to heal that wound. Sometimes that's what it's going to take. And when that preacher has that salve of love, and while it may burn when it goes in, you realize that he's helping to heal you. Dear friends, you ought to thank God that God sends somebody that's going to preach the truth and receive the Word of God. Soak it in. Take it in and let God work in your life. And just say, Lord, I want everything you have for me. I want the salad. I want the spinach. I want the hominy. I may not like how it all tastes, but Lord, if that's what I need, I want it. Then when you start getting the spinach and the hominy, you know what he's going to do? He's going to start putting just some mashed potatoes. Real mashed potatoes. with a little lump in it every now and then, just to let you know these are real. Amen. Real mashed potatoes. He's going to let you have sometimes maybe a little bit of that cube steak with gravy on it. Oh yeah, tender. Take it, touch it with the fork, and it just falls apart. Mm-mm. Then he lays out in front of you a big old piece of coconut cream pie. The reason I'm thinking about this is today we was at a meal at my brother-in-law and sister-in-law's house. Their kids were eating. You know what they wanted? Chocolate. Emily said, "I want chocolate." They said, "No, you've got to eat your food first. And after you eat your food, you can get chocolate." There's a lot of times in our life God's saying, "I've got some good things for you, some things that you're really going to enjoy, but you need this." Now, what good would it do for those kids just to go straight to dessert and never eat the nourishing things? It'd be very hurtful, wouldn't it? I want to tell you something, friends. Receive the Word of God. The sweet as well as the sour. The times that the conviction as well as the exhortation. But receive it. You know, I don't tell a preacher, never have, and I never will. Well, there is a couple of things that I said, don't preach on this. Don't preach on politics. You say, I don't. Look, I'll take care of that. And there'll be some preachers come in that will preach on politics, and it's because I haven't said anything to them. And I don't always say that. It's preachers I know that wants to make a big deal out of it that I'll usually say, let me handle that. I'll preach on politics because I know what it can do in a church. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You preach on abortion all you want to because I'm against it, and the Bible's against it, and God hates it. You can preach on homosexuality all you want to because the Bible's against it, the God's against it, and I hate it. I don't hate the sinner. I hate the sin. You understand what I'm saying? I believe there are what some people call political issues that are really moral issues. And I think you can preach on that, but don't get up and preach y'all to vote for this person and not vote for this person. First of all, it's against the laws of our land, and we're to render unto Caesar's the thing that are Caesar's. I believe that with all of my heart. But when preachers get up and they preach the truth, sometimes it might not be something you like. You know, and sometimes maybe it's something you don't need. You can throw it out. But you better listen because God might be trying to speak to you. Receive the Word of God. Then what do you do? What do you do before the sermon? You lay aside. What do you do during the sermon? You receive the Word of God. What do you do after the sermon? What's verse 22 say? Be ye doers of the Word. Not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Is that what the Bible says? So here's what the Bible teaches us. What do we do after the sermon? God deals with us. God speaks to us. God shows us maybe a need, or God shows us something that we should do, or God fulfills a need in our life. I believe when God fulfills something, He gives us an answer. I think we ought to find a way to the altar, and we ought to thank God for that. God deals with us about something we ought to do. I think we ought to find a way to the altar, and we ought to say, God, help me to take the next step. You say, why come to the altar? The altar is a place where you die to self. The altar is a place of sacrifice. The altar is also a place of thanksgiving. And so I think, first of all, it gives us an accountability. That's why we ask people when they come, we tell people, when you come to the altar, we want you to stay here. Because we're going to pray with you in just a moment. Why? We're praying with you about the decisions you made. Secondly, the reason we ask you to stay here and not get back up and walk back to your seats, because when people start walking back, then people quit coming. It's just natural. Well, the invitation must be close to being over because people are coming back to seats. No, so that's why we do that. That's what we're trying to get done anyway. But listen, respond to the Word of God. Be ye doers of the Bible. Be ye doers of the Word of God. God doesn't give you something just to do nothing with it. I think sometimes that we just think, well, you know, that was good, and I guess I needed it. And that's about the last we think about it. But I think we ought to say, Lord, now help me to do something with it. In all honesty, I believe the right kind of church is a church that when the preacher preaches truths, they take those truths out to their community and to the workplace. They talk about Spurgeon having so many people that heard him and his sermons every week, but the truth of the matter was, he may have filled up that place with 5,000 people several times a day on Sunday and every time they had a service throughout the week, but the truth of the matter is that he would have 3,000 people that was out every week going out and re-preaching, re-teaching the very things that he gave in his pulpit on Sunday. That's what made that church the great church it was, the Metropolitan Baptist Tabernacle. That's why it reached so many people with the gospel of Christ. He sent out his hound dogs. And they went down in the back alleys and they went searching and finding, not for the purpose of trying to bring people in, but to take the message to those people. See, we're not going to get people here to get them saved very much anymore. We're going to have to go to them and get them saved. This morning I preached on being found faithful. That's something you can take to people. You know those people you go that you work with? You could take certain things of that, and you could talk about you ought to be faithful. But they say, well, they're a Christian. Well, maybe they're not a Christian. Say, you know, the Spirit and the bride say, come. I'm asking you to come to the Lord. Here's what the Bible has to say about it. My preacher preached on this Sunday. And then you hear people, you know, they say, well, yeah, I go to such and such church, but we had a good day out on the lake yesterday. They said that on Monday, and on Sunday they were out on the lake. You know, and in all kindness, you can say, oh, really? Did you miss church? Yeah, miss church. You know, everybody deserves a little recreation every now and then. Everybody deserves a little time off every now and then. But you know, my preacher was just talking about that. And he said, he showed us from the Bible, well, we're not to forsake the assembling ourselves together. And helped us to understand that the only time that we should really miss is when really it's just things out of our control. And that really pleases the Lord when we do that. You said, boy, that just might cause problems. If you do things in love, you'll be surprised at how people will take what you have to say to them. Don't be forceful. Don't be mean. Don't nag. We don't need people to nag. We need the Spirit of Christ. So we take what we receive. We've laid aside things. We've come expecting God to do something. We receive the Word of God, and then we do something with it. I think it's a sad day in our lives and in the life of a country. A country that truly was founded on the principles of the Word of God. I think it's a sad day when people do nothing with the Word of God that call themselves Christians. A sad day. We're not going to get up on the... You may not be out on the street corner preaching all the time, and you may not be up in your office standing up, you know, you ladies in your high heels standing up there waving a Bible in your hand and pointing your finger down their face, but you ought to be preaching with the life you live and with the words you say. There ought to be a difference in you. I heard Miss Bevelin say somebody was telling a joke one time and it was not something flattering at all. And she wanted to let them people know, you know, I didn't say that. They put words in her mouth that were not, she didn't say anything about it. They just were trying because they knew she was a Christian. In one sense, that's a great testimony. They know you're a Christian. They knew that would embarrass you. But secondly, you did the right thing. I didn't say that, you know. And sometimes we have to take a stand for ourselves. But we should always take a stand for the Lord. Always. Never mean. Always kind. But always firm. You realize you can be firm and kind at the same time. I have to work at that. I'm such a mean person. I believe God's got some great things for us. I'm so excited about this coming week. I can't tell you how excited I am about Brother Pauly being here. Why? Is he going to bring revival? No. It's just I know that God worked things out because I prayed about him coming here, and now he's able to come. I know he's prayed about what he's going to be preaching. I know I prayed about what he's going to be preaching, and I believe you've been praying about what he's going to be preaching. And he's going to come here, and he's going to preach to us what God has put in his heart. By the way, I was just as excited when we had Brother Locke coming. I was just as excited when we had our Bible conference. And I'm just as excited about our Bible conference is already lined up in March this year. We're ready for it. Ready to go. Got the Cruz boys going to be with us. Tim and Terry. The dynamic duo on the way. I hope they don't listen to that because they'll fuss at me for saying something like that. But, I mean, they're dynamic because they're God's men. If Brother Tom Sexton gets back, he's going to be with us on Friday night. He's going to be, I think, in the Philippines, and he's supposed to be flying back in and coming over and preaching for us. He's flying back into Tampa on Friday, coming over. Who knows what's going to happen there, you know? His plane will get delayed or something like that, but that's all right. I can preach on Friday night. Brother Ray Lindsay's going to start us out on Sunday morning. Be with us Sunday morning. I'm so excited. But I'm so excited about this week. It's what I'm going to do my best to do. I'm going to try to lay aside things Thursday, Wednesday night, then Thursday night, then Friday night. I'm going to come in. I'm going to expect God to do something in my heart, my life, in the life of our church, greater than what I can even imagine. I'm expecting some great things. Then I'm going to ask God to help me, give me the courage to do something with it. Amen. Isn't it exciting to be a part of something like this? It's exciting when you think about it, isn't it? You go to other churches, you don't get what we've got here. Not because I'm the pastor, but because God's been so good to us and we're trying to follow the Bible guidelines, the biblical guidelines. That's what it's all about. It's all about the Lord. It's not about me. If this church is built upon me and I were to die tomorrow, the church would fall. If this church built on the Lord, I'm going to tell you something, this church will march on. It'll march on. Regardless what comes, it'll march on unless the Lord Jesus comes. And then we're going up. Pretty exciting, huh? You glad to be a part of God's family? I am. I am. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the time you've given to us. And Lord, I pray tonight that we've just been helped, encouraged. Lord, that you've shown us some things that'll help us to be what you want us to be. Prepare us, Lord, for not only revival services, but every service that we ever come into this place. And Lord, I know we'll soon forget some of the things that we've heard tonight, and we'll fail to remember this. But Lord, I pray that you'll...